Hi, everyone. Welcome to Eagles Live here at the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro, and football is in the air here. The players in town. The off-season conditioning program has started, and we've got football, real football, to talk about on today's show. Hope everyone had themselves a wonderful holiday season. It's time to dig in. April's a big month in the NFL. We've got the conditioning program beginning here in Philadelphia. We've got the schedule being released in a matter of the next couple of weeks. And, of course, we've got the NFL draft. Full coverage begins here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. That Monday, that is the 22nd of April, beginning at noon, and it'll run all the way through the draft. We're going to cover every single minute of the NFL draft. The Eagles have 9 selections and a whole lot of fun coming your way. Today's show will feature at some point here Brandon Graham, defensive end, and offensive tackle Jason Peters, both players expected to be pivotal parts of this football team. To what degree, we don't know. Certainly for Graham, is the Eagles not really divulging their plans for the defense. Will it be a 3-4? Will it be a 4-3? Will it be something in between, a little bit of both? We all know Jason Peters missed badly last year as he recovered from Achilles tendon surgery. I will make the argument that he was the most valuable player on this football team and one of the most valuable in the all of the NFL. You take him off the offensive line, you see what happened to this Philadelphia Eagles offense. Shuffling players along the front line, too many turnovers, troubles in the red zone, too many mistakes. Jason Peters, we need you on the football field. Welcome back. He's expected to be, at least that is the hope, ready to go when the team has its pre-draft minicamp April 16th through the 18th. So, wonderful show for you today. We're going to get some reaction from you as football in the air. We spent the last 3.5 months just guessing, talking, what could be, what should be, what might be. Now the players are here. They look great. The energy level is tremendous in the NovaCare complex. And the players just as eager to learn about the Chip Kelly ways as I am, as you are, as everyone is. This regime getting off to a good start here with the off-season conditioning program. The team met last night as a group for the first time in 2013, then broke down into position meetings, then had dinner, and now they're getting into the training portion of this off-season. So all of these steps uncharted, and we'll follow it every step of the way right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Let's get you caught up on today's headlines right here from the NovaCare Complex. As we said, the off-season conditioning program underway and will continue for the next few months in various stages. This is phase one of the offseason. And as we said again, Graham and Peters to meet the media and then to come into studio here to talk to me, to talk to you. Eagles over the weekend, an interesting addition. I wish I could pronounce his name, even though the young man told me last night, and I can't remember. Wide receiver Moma Moma. Anyway, everybody calls him Mo. Great story. A rising prospect a couple of years ago at Boston College, 6'7" tall. Has a tremendous opening game against Northwestern. 8 catches, a 157, a touchdown. Breaks his leg. Tears his ACL in that game. Continued to play, left the game, missed the rest of the year. NCAA denies him the opportunity for a 6th year of eligibility. So all of 2012, Moma rehabbed in Florida, got into his schooling in the graduate program at BC. Eagles try him out. He runs a 4-4 in the tryouts at 6'7" tall. Eagles bring him in for a workout. Another 4-4 in the 40. Eagles ink him to a deal. He's here. He's raw. He's a prospect. We'll see how far he comes in a very short period of time at a crowded wide receiver position. The pre-draft minicamp, April 16th. Through the 18th here at the NovaCare Complex. And, of course, our draft coverage begins Monday, April 22nd at noon. Hot topic of the day, guys. We invite you to send us a tweet with the hashtag EaglesLive. kind of a very simple one. I mean, I think everybody's focus, at least part of it, is on the NFL draft, is it not? Well, we've talked about that. Will the Eagles take a quarterback? Or do they have enough here? There's five of them on the roster. So the question is, send us a tweet. Who will be the starting Eagles quarterback for game number one? Later in the show, I will offer my projected starting lineup for September. Chris McPherson and Bo Wolf will do the same as we have some fun here in the early days of April, projecting all the way to September who will start for the Eagles come opening day. All right, before we get into the football portion of things, let's talk about off the field. Yesterday, the Eagles and Eagles Youth Partnership running a program that they've run a couple of times here now. It is a program designed to save young lives in war-torn countries, and it is an inspiring story. Eagles Youth Partnership, once again, doing great things in the community, this time taking man's best friend and expanding that concept.
The Moffitt School, in partnership with the Philadelphia Eagles, has sponsored a life-saving mine detection dog that will be heading out to Iraq in 2 weeks to sniff out landmines and save lives in Basra. In these mine-affected countries, there are tens of thousands of landmine survivors. In Basra alone, there's 50,000 landmine and war survivors that have had injuries, lost limbs. 20,000 plus are children.
The kids who live here in this neighborhood, they talk about, you know, hearing gunshots at night and how dangerous it is to leave their house at a certain hour. And they talk to the kids in Yemen and Iraq, and they can't leave throughout the day at all. Those kids can't experience playing outside at any time of the day because of landmines.
If there's a lot of metal contamination, it can take up to an hour, sometimes a day, like, for a manual deminer with a metal detector to find it. And because it's just trained on the scent of the landmine, it takes like less than a minute. In the beginning, we teach them to find the odor and we pair it with the toy. So she finds the toy, she finds the odor, and then eventually we take the ball away. So she just finds the odor, and then we teach her to sit. And that's how we start the shaping of the sit response. And then we teach her to smell the ground. And then from there on, when she goes overseas, she's going to go through another two months of training, which is actually going to learn to find real landmines.
We're teaching them to be global citizens, and so we're teaching them to respect each other and learn from each other.
They're going to carry this ability to build teams and their ability to form partnerships, and they're going to carry this into their adulthood, and that's because the Eagles are behind them.
The ACL is one of four major ligaments around the knee. It stabilizes the knee during cutting, pivoting, and jumping activities. Most often, ACL tears are non-contact injuries and occur when quickly changing directions or landing from a jump. Usually, ACL reconstruction is required to allow the athlete to return to their previous level of competition. If you've sustained a knee injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy?
Happier than Christopher Columbus with speedboats.
That's happy.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
With the 12th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select
Mississippi State defensive tackle Fletcher Cox.
What a great
Philadelphia Eagle. They traded up, but they didn't have to go all the way to 6 to get Fletcher Cox. They got him at 12. They give up a fourth-round pick, a sixth-round pick.
This is the guy everyone in the media knew about. The Eagles interviewed him at the combine. This guy gets upfield. I'm stunned. I didn't think they'd be able to get him. The fact of the matter is that he's going to be an Eagle. This is the guy that they came in the draft wanting.
A lot of people like the speed around the edge that Vinny Curry has.
They'll be able to get some depth at receiver if they really want some.
I think their aggressive style really fits well with Michael's play.
There's a player I really, really like. I would be surprised if he went in the second round.
Jerry Azzanero, defensive line coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Well, the NFL draft is getting closer and closer. Time to get a national perspective on what the Eagles might do and how the top of the draft shapes up. We welcome into the studio from Roto-World NFL draft writer, Mr. Josh Norris. Josh, thanks for joining us. And I don't know, I think a few names have been kicked around here at number four, and a few names will be kicked around some more between now and April 25th. How do you see the top of the draft, and specifically how it pertains to the Philadelphia Eagles?
You know, it's a great question, and I think the Eagles really set themselves up to do a multiple amount of things. They're not locked into one certain position, and sure, I think that need is really taken out of proportion when you look at a draft board, and even I'm guilty of that. But filling a lot of those needs in free agency is in what you're supposed to do, and feeling comfortable going into a season with those starters in place, like an Isaac Sopwaga at nose tackle, or Connor Barwin at pass rushing outside linebacker, or even the entire new secondary they have. It really sets the Eagles up to take the best available player on their board. And sure, that could be a nose tackle or a defensive lineman in star Lotu Lele, who's not just locked into that interior anchor of that defensive line. They could set themselves up to take a pass rusher for not just this season, but for more seasons to come, maybe in Deion Jordan as an outside linebacker. Or it could all set them up to take Geno Smith at number four. It really is a variety of different ways. And these first three picks seem to be somewhat more consistently thought of, more of a group thing. But number four is really, really random. It really could be that in April.
Well, let's talk about this then. If you were to kind of vet through the talent at the top of the draft, give me your top five guys.
You know, I try not to include quarterbacks in any type of ranking, just because I feel like if you think that they are a transcendent quarterback, a quality starter, they will transcend your rankings, and then they'll automatically shoot up to number one. So for me, top five guys are Chance Warmack at number one, Eric Fisher at number two from Central Michigan, obviously the tackle, star Lotu Lele, the nose tackle defensive lineman from Utah at number three, Luke Joku at number four, and then Sharif Floyd at number five. But it really just doesn't stop there. I mean, I absolutely love Deion Jordan, have since the summer. Big fan of Ezekiel Ansah as well. And then Cornelius Tank Carrigan from Florida State. I think that if he didn't have the ACL issues, we could be mentioning him among these top five, top ten prospects.
Do you think, Josh, will there be a market to get up to number four? I mean, the way it sounds from people like you who kind of evaluate this whole thing, that yeah, there's some good talent at the top of the draft, but the real strength of this draft is in its entirety, and that you want to try to get as many draft picks as you can, and that maybe the quality of talent isn't as great as you think from number four to, say, number 14.
You know, in the past we've seen, especially around this time of year, we've seen a lot of these trade-ups revolving around quarterbacks, and I think this year it might be offensive tackles instead. Obviously, it seems like a tackle is going to go at number one. Probably Luke Joku is where it seems to be headed, just from what has been reported. But after that, I mean, Eric Fisher, I rank him just slightly above Joku. And I could see him being a top five pick easily, a top four pick easily. And so a team might want to jump, let's say the Detroit Lions at number five, to take a offensive tackle. Maybe even the Arizona Cardinals from number seven, just moving up slightly and being able to take an offensive tackle. So I think that is where a position where those commodities are proven. And I think in this draft, that is going to be a very valuable thing. So offensive tackle might be the position where teams want to move up and take.
I have not heard D. Milliner's name. The Eagles obviously signing two unrestricted free agents in Williams and Fletcher. So maybe that the kind of the expectation Eagles fans had a month ago may not be there as far as a cornerback goes. But I don't know. I think we're kind of throwing darts at this point. Would you agree with that? That it really is based upon the draft board of the Philadelphia Eagles, because there's just a lot of really good players, maybe not great ones at this point, but a lot of really good players to pick from at number four.
Right, and I do think that, let's say, in the top 11, top 10, those talents are a little bit better than, let's say, 15 through 50. But in that range, there's a whole bunch of quality players that can be stars and can contribute very early on. But like I mentioned, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Eric Fisher, huge fan of Chance Womack, huge fan of star Lotu Lele. And let me talk a little bit about Lotu Lele, because he's being pegged as a nose tackle, and I think he's not just stuck to that position. I think he can be an excellent three technique, an excellent five technique even. And he's really improved this season just because of his ability to locate and find the football and get backfield vision. He's not taking himself out of plays any longer. And he played 91.2% of Utah's defensive snaps this season, when the average is somewhere between 7 or 80%, which is just an astronomical number.
Josh, last thing for you. We have not touched on the quarterback position. The consensus is really very much divided, I think. I don't think there is a consensus on Geno Smith. Some love him, some don't love him. Give me a couple of quarterbacks who you think fit what we think Chip Kelly will run here offensively.
Yeah, I think one that really stands out, and I'm trying to drive his name up there as much as I could, is Zach Dyson from Miami of Ohio. I absolutely love this guy. He is a big difference between 2011 and 2012 for him. In 2011, he was allowed to work from center, step up in the pocket, move, throw on the run, and make second and third reads. Fast forward to 2012, somewhat of a new offense, almost solely out of the shotgun, four or five wide receivers, and that was to compensate for a very poor offensive line, so they just wanted the ball out of his hands very quickly. Sure, he didn't look great at the senior bowl. I can be the first one to say that. He intended to sail past it over his receiver's head. I didn't see that at all when looking at him on tape, and just from what he can do, moves so well, steps up in the pocket, can avoid the pass rush, can throw even in confined spaces. And he loves to test vertically, which is something I absolutely love to see, especially against pressure from these quarterbacks. And I think he can probably be available in the second round, obviously, third and fourth round. It might even be in that area. But there's a lot of talk of Matt Scott, a lot of talk of E.J. Manuel, and I actually prefer Zach Dysart over all three.
Well, you are the first one to mention that, Josh. We thank you very much for that. Thanks for your time here. We will check in with you prior to and during the NFL draft. Josh Norris, thanks for joining us today in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
In the 2012 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select
Mississippi State defensive tackle Fletcher Cox.
What a
is a Philadelphia Eagle. They traded up, but they didn't have to go all the way to 6 to get Fletcher Cox. They got him at 12. They gave up a 4th-round pick, a 6th-round pick.
This is the guy everyone in the media knew about. The Eagles interviewed him at the Combine. This guy gets upfield. I'm stunned. I didn't think they'd be able to get him. The fact of the matter is that he's going to be an Eagle. This is the guy that they came into draft wanting.
A lot of people like the speed around the edge that Vinnie Curry has.
They'll be able to get some depth at receiver if they really want some.
I think their aggressive style really fits well with Michael's play.
There's a player I really, really like. I would be surprised if he went in the second round.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smartphones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, the leading provider of orthopedic care in the region.
Chances are, you're not made of money, so don't overpay for motorcycle insurance. Geico, see how much you could save.
Hi, I'm Pat Shermer, offensive coordinator. You're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Well, it's a new beginning with the Philadelphia Eagles. The offseason conditioning program begins. It's a fresh start. That's the way it feels here in the NovaCare Complex. And, of course, out there in the sporting world, the flowers are starting to bloom. The trees are starting to bud. The Major League Baseball season opens. So in honor of all of that, the idea of an opening day lineup has occurred to us that we're going to discuss here. And while this means absolutely nothing, we're going to have some fun with it. I will provide to you my projected starting lineup, and then I'll throw it over to Chris McPherson and Bo Wolf to hear what they have to say about the Eagles and what it could look like on the field come September. Let's begin with the Philadelphia Eagles on offense. Of course, quarterback is a position that nobody has any idea what's going to happen here, but I'm going to go with Michael Vick, the leader in the clubhouse at the moment. I think that Chip Kelly will tailor this offense to fit the skills of Michael Vick. Quick decision-making must be a priority for Vic. Good decisions, quick decisions, get rid of the football, get it out to the playmakers. I think that is what this entire offense is predicated upon. The rest of the starting offense in the backfield, no doubt about it, LeSean McCoy and James Casey in that move role will generously list him as a fullback here. There will be no true fullback in this Chip Kelly offense. DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, Brent Celek, and an offensive line that looks very familiar. And how about that right guard? Danny Watkins, I think, will really blossom with what Jeff Stoutland wants to teach him here. I still believe, however, that the Eagles could use an early draft pick on a right tackle and thus make Todd Harriman to right guard. But we'll see how that happens. I'm saying right now, it's Danny Watkins' time to shine. On defense, do the Eagles go 3-4 or 4-3? Until I see evidence otherwise, I'm going with the 4-3 here. I think there will be a hybrid approach to this Eagles defense. That means Trent Cole at right defensive end, Isaac Sopoaga, and Fletcher Cox in the middle, Brandon Graham at the left defensive end position, Connor Barwin at the strong side linebacker position, and Michael Kendricks moves over to the weak side with D'Amico Ryans in the middle. Your two unrestricted free agent acquisitions, Kerry Williams, Bradley Fletcher, starting at the cornerback position. Nate Allen, I say, holds off the charge at one safety spot. And free agent acquisition, Kenny Phillips, will, I think, be a starter as well at one of the safety spots. How about the special teams? Well, I think there's no doubt about it. The Eagles have their punter, and they know who that's going to be in Donnie Jones. And I think you've got no questions at all about Alex Henry as your place kicker. John Dornbos, the long snapper, signs his new deal. How about DeSean Jackson returning to the punt return position? And Brandon Boykin, another year older, stronger, faster, wiser, and better as your kick returner. That is the way I see it as the Eagles' starting lineup looks in April. Let's throw it over to our studio number two here in the NovaCare Complex, Chris McPherson and Bo Wolf. What do you got?
Thanks, Dave. And the first thing that Bo and I will discuss here is Danny Watkins in the offensive line. I do not have him as a starter. You do not have him as a starter. He's shown some glimpses over his first couple seasons that he could be a good star here in the NFL, but I feel like the offensive line is something that the Eagles will address early in this draft. You have them selecting Eric Fisher in the first round. I have them taking Justin Pugh, both going out to tackle. Now, what's the rest of your offensive line after that?
Well, I think that's the key with Danny Watkins is that we both expect them to address the offensive line early in this draft, and if they don't, I would expect that Watkins would be at right guard. Maybe the change of scenery helps him out a little bit. We heard that maybe him and Howard Mudd, there was a bit of a clash there. So he has the physical tools, and certainly the clock is ticking on him. He's about 28 years old. But as for the rest of my offensive line, I have Jason Peters at left tackle, Evan Mathis at left guard, Jason Kelce in the center. I move Todd Harriman's to right guard, slide him back inside because I do have the Eagles taking Eric Fisher, fourth overall, 6'7", 306 out of Central Michigan. A talented guy, and maybe the left tackle of the future when Jason Peters moves on.
Certainly. I put Harriman's back on the left side at left guard, where he dominated earlier in his career, and I put Mathis at right guard. I think Chip Kelly's going to come up with an open mind, and certainly I think everything's up in the air at this point, but I think he's going to come up with an open mind, and I would not mind seeing Peters and Harriman's dominating that left side of the line.
I like it.
Otherwise, Kelce back at center, Peters definitely at left tackle. Now, I went back and forth on the quarterback. Who did you end up going with here?
I went with Michael Vick. I have number 7 back there, and then Shady in the backfield with him. I have him open up two tight ends with Casey and Selleck, and then both Jackson and Macklin on the outside. How about you?
I went with Nick Foles. I like what he did at the end of last season. He's a guy that can stand tall in the pocket. He can deliver with the pass rush coming in his face. He's got that tall presence. A lot of people are wondering whether, since he's not the mobile quarterback, we saw that touchdown run he had against Tampa Bay last season, whether he'd be a fit for this offense. I think Chip Kelly is going to give him every chance. Now, I think there's a lot that Michael Vick can still bring to the table, but to me, it comes down to the turnovers. Just way too many turnovers the last couple of seasons. If Chip Kelly can find a way to fix it, I'm all for him being back as a starting quarterback, but I just think when you look at what Nick Foles did, showed a lot of promise at the end of last season, I think he'll have a chance to run.
That touchdown run, I think the clock is still ticking on that when he hasn't finished yet.
Certainly, but you know the way he showed poise down the stretch of that Tampa Bay game, calling the play as we all remember to win the game, certainly I liked what he showed there.
Obviously the storyline to watch this offseason, who's going to be the quarterback.
Definitely. Now, one of our big storylines is what will this defense look like? Is it going to be a 4-3? Is it going to be a 3-4? Is it going to be a hybrid? Chip Kelly, Billy Davis, all been kind of a little evasive on what it's going to be. They don't want to really get it out there. How do you have the front 7 looking?
Well, Spuds went with the real 4-3 front. I'm going with a 3-4 front for now, but flexibility is the key, as we talked about under Billy Davis. I have Fletcher Cox on the outside, Isaac Sopawaga in what would be the nose. Then I have my second round pick, Jesse Williams, outside of Alabama as the other defensive end. Jesse Williams is right into this mold of versatility. Started for a season as the 3-4 defensive end for Alabama, and then started at nose tackle last year. So maybe he starts on the outside for now, and then eventually replaces Sopawaga at the nose, but he's my guy.
Great minds think alike. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about, because if you listen to Greg Cosell, he'll tell you that there's not a whole lot of difference between he and Star Lutulelei, someone that a lot of draft experts have the Eagles selecting at number 4 overall. I thought about that, but Cedric Thornton is a guy who I thought came on strong last season. Howie Roseman has always been praising him consistently. I put him in at the defensive end spot. I have Connor Barwin as the open side linebacker, guy that's going to rush the passer a lot, someone that thrived in that role in Houston when he got 11.5 sacks 2 seasons ago. They changed his role a little bit. And then I have Fletcher Cox as your 3 technique, and then Isaac Sopawaga as the shade it seems like it's going to be in this defense. What about the rest of the linebackers for you?
Well, I've got D'Amico and Michael Kendricks in the middle in what would be the 3-4. Otherwise, if you're sliding it, Kendricks goes to the weak side. And then I've got Trent Cole there. And I have Brandon Graham sort of coming off the bench as your third down pass rusher, but not quite in the starting lineup. But he's still going to be an important player for this defense, I think.
My one key difference, I have Deion Jordan going number 4 overall to the Eagles, someone with tremendous size, 6'7", outstanding length. And I'm not just saying it because Chip Kelly knows him from Oregon. Certainly there'll be the familiarity there. But to me, Deion Jordan, I think, brings so much to the table with his ability to cover, his ability to play in space. I think he's still a little bit raw as a pass rusher. He still has a little bit to develop on that front. Still needs to get a little bit bigger. But I just think when you want a guy number 4, you want a guy who can have that tremendous upside. And a guy at 6'7", who's so freakishly athletic, a guy who was a wide receiver at first in college, I just think he brings so much to the table.
I don't dispute the Deion Jordan pick, but you've got him coming in and starting week 1 over Trent Cole and Brandon Graham?
I think so. That's how I'm going to look at it. So.
All right. Wow. That's ballsy.
Certainly, that would be the case. I think you're going to have Trent Cole and Brandon Graham rotating in there as well.
All right. How about the secondary, which has been so made over these past few weeks?
You know, a lot of people are going to say you're going to change all four of your starters. I have Bradley Fletcher, one corner, left cornerback spot. Kerry Williams at the right cornerback spot. In safety, I went with Nate Allen. I think he bounces back. I know he was benched at the end of last season. I think he bounces back, and he'll start opposite Patrick Chung. Kenny Phillips, I think, is the most talented safety that the Eagles have at this point, but he's got to be able to stay healthy. He played very well in 2011, helping the Giants win the Super Bowl, but I definitely think that he needs to show that he can stay healthy. I think Nate Allen and Patrick Chung would be a nice thumper at the strong safety position.
Well said, and I have the exact same back four in the starting secondary. I thought about maybe putting in a second-round pick, a cornerback over Bradley Fletcher. Maybe Brandon Boykin makes a move there, but for now I have Fletcher and Kerry Williams. And then on special teams, obviously we've got Alex Henry and Donnie Football, the new punter, Donnie Jones.
Yes.
Punt returner, I have DeSean Jackson. How about you?
Agree.
And then kickoff returner, I went with, and I think we agree on this one, Aurelius Ben, the traded for former Bucks receiver, returned some kicks last year and did a pretty good job for that. I think maybe that's a role for him here.
Brings good size, has the experience. I like him working with Dave Phipp and the special team. So that's our look at the special starting lineups here for the Eagles, what we think they will be come week one. We're going to send it back to Dave Spadaro in the Xfinity studio.
Well, thanks very much, guys. And there you have it, Eagles fans. For what it's worth, here early April, our projected starting lineup. Stay tuned for more, because those starting projections are no doubt going to change.
With the 12th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select
Mississippi State defensive tackle Fletcher Cox.
What a
Philadelphia Eagle. They traded up, but they didn't have to go all the way to 6 to get Fletcher Cox. They got him at 12. They give up a fourth-round pick, a sixth-round pick.
This is the guy everyone in the media knew about. The Eagles interviewed him at the Combine. This guy gets upfield. I'm stunned. I didn't think they'd be able to get him. The fact of the matter is that he's going to be an Eagle. This is the guy that they came into draft wanting.
A lot of people like the speed around the edge that Vinny Curry has.
They'll be able to get some depth at receiver if they really want some.
I think their aggressive style really fits well with Michael's play.
There's a player I really, really like. I would be surprised if he went in the second round.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
There's a sight, a sound, a taste to this town.
Hot Italian bread ready for dinner.
Over 500 varieties of produce, fresh every day.
Custom cut, just for you.
Acme, everything from local produce to Lancaster beef from family-owned farms to breads baked all day.
Salty or sweet?
My neighborhood, my Acme.
So, man, how's that Bud Light Port Paradise cruise?
Oh, man. First day. So later on is all...
Swing, baby, swing.
Then we hit the ship's deck. Next day, there's this private island concert. So what'd you guys do?
4 days, 3 nights, a two-day music festival, and one legendary party, Bud Light Port Paradise. Here we go.
I'm Bob Bicknell, wide receivers coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Don't you like that personal touch, the coaches saying you're watching Philadelphia? It's all new. So many new things planned for this year. You're going to notice a lot of that in our draft coverage, which is going to be out of this world. Dave Spadaro with you. It's Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We open it up for some phone calls. If you'd like to jump in and talk Eagles, 215-339-6709 on this first full day
of the team's off-season conditioning program. And we will hear at some point Brandon Graham, Jason Peters. Jason met with the media a short time ago, and now he is getting ready to come into studio here. So we'll get him very, very shortly. But we have a lot to talk about. The draft is coming up. The Eagles have made a bunch of moves here in free agency through trades. They've signed some players and a really interesting mix of talent on this roster that at some point here will get whittled down to 53 players. Let's get to the phones. And what better place to start than Las Vegas? Jimmy the Geek joins us. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
How are you, sir?
Doing great, great, great.
Good.
New year, new day.
Yep.
New team, new attitude.
It has to be. It better be, Jimmy. The attitude last year, when you're mired in the throes of a 4-12 season, you get beaten down. And, I mean, very quickly, this team, is, as every professional team does, you turn the page, you look ahead, you forget about last year, and you understand that you never want to go through that again.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, on the cool side, I was watching the NFL channel,
mm-hmm.
and they did a deal on the rookies from 2009, and they showcased Casey.
Yeah.
And it was neat watching, you know, this kid come out, and, you know, he's got that, want to do it attitude. And he came into the league with that. I mean, his story is really compelling.
Yeah, I mean, his story is he came from very humble beginnings. His mother died in a I believe it was a mobile home fire.
Yeah, it was a mobile home fire.
And uh-huh. then he went to the Major League Baseball route, played there for a few years, went to college. I think he had a triple major at Rice, which is no academic slouch at all. And he's a driven kid. He's a hardworking kid. He's an earnest kid. Great addition to the locker room and on the field. Extremely versatile, Jimmy. Certainly one of the players that I look forward to most seeing.
A try-hard guy, Dave, is going to be really, really successful. Dave,
yes.
I'm coming out with my prediction for the draft. I want you to start writing this stuff down because when they call number four, you're going to say, the geek was right.
All right, let me do that then. All right, so I'm going to put the headline, Draft Guesses. Is that okay, Jimmy?
Absolutely. Or I would say prognostications, Dave.
Draft prognostications. You got it, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm going to go way off the reservation here.
Okay. Jimmy the Geek
says... I'm going to go with the tackle from Oklahoma.
Lane Johnson,
and I'll tell you why.
Okay, tell me why.
We got the road grader in Peters. Looks like he's back. He's healthy. He's going to make it happen. But with all this motion, think about an ex-quarterback the size of Johnson knocking down that corner for Michael Vick or Foles or fill in the blank to get some distance, or Shady to get some distance on a down-the-line play action. Yeah, it's clear to me.
All right.
It's Johnson. It's Johnson.
So you're taking that, Jimmy, thanks for the phone call. You're taking Lane Johnson at number four. Maybe a little bit higher than what I've seen projected for Johnson, but certainly is one of those players that I think most people believe will be maybe the third tackle off the board with Jokel, with Fisher, Lane Johnson. How do you feel about that, Fran Duffy, our insider? He's giving the thumbs up to Lane Johnson. All right. Speaking of tackles, now he'll be in the studio shortly, but let's get you caught up here with Jason Peters, who met the media just a moment ago. Let's go into the interview room now and find out Jason Peters and how that Achilles tendon is feeling and when he's going to get back on the football field.
Can you give us an idea of where you're at in recovery? And
Right now, I'm 100%. I felt good today running. Just finished my workout, and you know I'm feeling good.
You could feasibly practice if there was a practice today?
Yes, sir.
How long have you been 100% for?
Since January, end of December. You know, I've been 100. We just didn't make the playoffs there, you know, and I was going to come back last year, but, you know, bad season.
Mm-hmm. Could you have played at any point late last season?
I could have, but, you know, I didn't want to risk it, you know, with a losing season, and the coaches kind of helped me back a little bit.
What does it mean to you at this point to feel as good as it sounds like you're feeling?
It's real good. You know, last year I wanted to get out there with my guys and fight. Couldn't do it. And now I feel good and I'm ready to go.
What was the hardest part of the comeback for you? What did you have to overcome?
Just the weight, you know, getting up every day, doing the same thing over and over, seeing my teammates go out there and battle and me not being out there with them. You know, that was just the hardest thing for me.
Are you expecting a much different pace with Chip Kelly? More plays, more pace?
I'm sure. I mean, the workout today was up-tempo, you know, a lot of, you know, drills and different stuff that we normally don't do. So, you know, I'm pretty sure it's going to be real up-tempo.
What's your first impression of Chip Kelly?
Real laid back, straight to the point. Good guy, good coach.
Are you confident? Same injury twice. Did the doctors tell you if there's a risk of re-injuring?
No risk. He said it'll be back 98%, or not as stronger than it was before I tore it. So, you know, no risk after the second tear.
Are you mentally 100% to do whatever to push off? Have you really given it the full test that you would during a game?
Yes. I did it all November, December. You know, I did it individually with certain guys in the bubble, and I'm ready to go.
Do you think that you'll be back playing not just at left tackle but at an elite level at left tackle next season?
Sure. You know, I'm not going to get out there and I can't go 100% and be back where I was before I got hurt. So I'm going to go out there and give it all I got.
Jason, why did you wait until now basically to talk? I mean, you could have talked at any point late last season. Why did you wait until now to just?
I just didn't want to, you know, be talking about it and I was still hurt, you know. Mm-hmm. Now I'm ready to go and, you know, I'm going to answer all the questions y'all got for me and I'm ready to go this year.
What was it like watching the troubles the offensive line had last year and knowing you couldn't be a part of it?
It hurt, you know. I was in the meetings watching film with them and showing them, you know, the corrections and stuff. But, you know, anytime your team, you know, struggling, especially your group of guys, the O-line, so it was kind of hard.
How big a difference could you have made?
I mean, it's a big difference. I'm a starter. I'm a number one offensive lineman in the league. So me being out there carried everybody else and make them play their best. So, you know, it was a big part, me not being out there. And so I'm back now.
Jason, I was just confused about what you said about the doctors, what they told you about 98%.
Yeah, I'd be 90, when I tore it, they said it would be 98% stronger back to 100. So, you know, 2% is not bad.
Okay.
So, if not stronger, that's
so
percentage.
The worst you'll ever be.
The
is
worst
98% of
what
you were.
How was the difference in the blocking scheme?
Say it again.
You get any sense for the differences and the similarities in the blocking scheme that Chip and Jeff are going to use as opposed to?
Not sure. We hadn't gotten into it that far. You know, he put some plays in yesterday, and I the scheme pretty much the same blocking wise. So I really don't know it detailed.
What do you think about all the personnel changes that have been made here?
I think they're great, you know, coming into a different situation. There's always improvement for change. So, you know, I'm just excited for the new staff we do have and I'm ready to go.
You also got to hear from some of the new strength and conditioning coaches. What are some of the new things, the science that they're incorporating with your
team? Just got after us. I mean, it's a lot of up-tempo stuff. Everything is quick, a lot of reps, quick pace, and, I mean, I'm just ready to go. I mean, the science part of it, really don't know yet. All I know is running and working out.
Does anything change for you?
They said that you were doing some things where you got the offensive linemen doing stuff that running backs and wide receivers do. What kind of things are you guys doing, working your quickness and that sort of thing?
40 work, hurdles, ladders, stuff like that. You know, working a quick feet, the quick movements, the up-tempo pace. So that's the stuff we worked on today.
Do you feel you need to get lighter?
Having met him, and what do you know about his blocking schemes? And
say that again.
Jeff Stoutland, new offensive line coach. Uh-huh. What are your impressions of him so far, and what kind of blocking schemes will he have you guys? I mean, you know, technique, is it going to be different?
Like I said, I'm not sure. He put in some plays yesterday. We hadn't been on the field. You only, you know, can tell once you get out there and you get the coaching you how he wants you to turn the angles and stuff like that.
Jason, can you give us some detail how you ruptured the Achilles in the first place and then how it re-ruptured again? Can you just give us some?
I was working out, doing some sets, kick back. I just thought my shoe came off. You know, I kept running. Didn't know I really did it till I stopped. So, you know, that was the first time. The second time was just a freak accident. The ruptured again. I fell off the rollerball, and that was it.
So, Jason, when was it, timeline-wise, that you were back to being close to where you are now?
First of December, around about the first, end of the second week of December, I was 100%.
Does anything need to change for you now? I mean, weight-wise, are you changing anything now? I mean, you're coming off an injury. They're asking maybe different things for you here. Do you have to change your weight or anything for you change compared to what you were before?
The coaches hadn't said nothing about it. Personally, I'm going to probably get down about 320.
What did you used to be at then? What did you
340. You know, 340, 335, give or take, you know, Sunday. So
that's your personal choice to get down?
Yeah, that's my personal choice.
And is that why is that? What's your thinking and reasoning?
Well, I'll be ready to, you know, whatever the coach throw at us, whether we're running 100 plays a game or 60, you know, I'll be ready for that.
You and a couple of the other main offensive linemen got hurt. How motivated are you guys as a group to establish yourself in this league again?
I'm just excited. I'm about to go out there on the field now and, you know, work on a couple sets and get my body back to doing what I used to do. So we both excited. Me and Todd talked about it yesterday in the meeting, and we excited to get back out there.
Do you think about your legacy at all, having earned all pros and knowing that you're one of the best offensive linemen in the game after missing last season? Do you start to think about that?
You know, sort of. I'm just trying to work to get back where I was before I got hurt. So, you know, really don't dwell on it or think about it too much. I just want to get back to where I used to be and get some wins.
You've never won a playoff game. Do you feel like that as one of the highest paid players on the team and one of the best overall players on the team that you need to take more of a leadership role this season after having sat last season and watching everything that happened?
Of course. That's what I mean by wins, you know, playoff wins. Hadn't had one. Don't know what it feel like. Can't wait to feel it. So, you know, that's what I'm going to work on this year towards.
Jason, how do you keep any of Howard Mudd's, some stuff that he taught you that you used with him? Well, I mean, some of that stuff carry over. Will you still kind of keep doing that?
Of course. I'm going to do what I've been doing. Anytime I get an offensive line coach, I don't forget what I learned from the last one. I just take what he got and what he gave me and add it on to my game. So it ain't nothing I'm going to throw away Howard Mudd stuff. I'm just going to add on what Coach Scotland going to give me.
Jason, how do you react when people say that, you know, you've been hurt and they may draft an offensive lineman and left tackle with a fourth pick? How do you react when you hear that kind of talk?
I hadn't heard it. It was first for me. Don't matter who they bring in. It ain't going to be easy to get my spot. I know that much. So whoever they draft, you know, I'm going to mold them if they do draft a left tackle. It don't matter. I'm going to help them work to be where I'm at or not better.
Jason, you really took a step up into the elite of the elite under Howard Mudd. When that regime went out, was it tough for you? I mean, did you feel like it'll be a different transition with a new staff?
Just a different scheme. Any player, I tell you, new coaches, you wouldn't see a Tom Brady change his game if you got a new coach. He's going to be Tom Brady. So, same thing I'm going to bring to the table this year. You know, I'm going to play hard. Whatever scheme they give me, I'm going to do it 100 miles an hour.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
Well, very encouraging words, enthusiasm, energy, perspective from Jason Peters, who seems like he's ready to go and will not be on the field unless he's 100%, and sounds like he's there. That is a huge – it's kind of like adding the best free agent for the Eagles to this roster. Didn't play at all last year, comes in ready to go. Left tackle Jason Peters. Now, will the Eagles draft – an offensive lineman? We'll see on April 25th because we're all in the mood for the draft, and you can be too. Check out the new Eagles draft hat. It is available now at the store, Lincoln Financial Field, certainly online. The new era draft 5950 cap. Cool looking cap. Speak with your cap. Do it draft style, Eagles draft style. Get your draft hat today. And by the way, the Eagles draft party at Lincoln Financial Field, tickets available. They are free tickets. They are available on PhiladelphiaEagles.com on Thursday, April 4th at 10 a.m. So make sure you jump in, get your tickets, have a good time. Draft party starts at 5:30 on April 25th over at Lincoln Financial Field. Good time had by all. Okay, let's take a phone call here. Tyrell in Delaware joining us. Tyrell, good afternoon. Hello. Tyrell's not there. He bailed on us. Tyrell, we told you it was going to be a couple of minutes. You had to wait for Jason Peters first. I think Jason Peters, somebody the fans wanted to hear from. You know what I mean? So he's gone. All right, we are going to continue our draft look here. We've been giving you all of our scouting reports, position by position, Adam Kaplan and Greg Cosell, Fran Duffy producing. These are fantastic pieces. These are pieces that you won't find anywhere else. These are pieces that you if you are into the draft, and if you're really into the draft, which I know you are, in a moment we're going to get you to one. Talk about the linebackers here. First, let's go down to Southwest Florida and talk to Gary, who joins us on Eagles Live. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, buddy?
Hey, it is so nice today, I have to tell you. A little bummed out, though. The what? Eagles of the University of Southwest Florida here, FGCU. That's my team, baby. I know that's another sport, so let's not go there. But they were also the Eagles. I bet you didn't know this.
Yeah,
the Eagles actually had to give them permission to use a logo very similar to theirs.
You know, I see that logo all over the place, obviously. You know, a friend of mine sent a picture, sent it to me from Texas, a high school football team named the Eagles with a similar logo. I'm not the logo police. I don't know.
Yeah,
no,
a long time ago, I think I had just moved here, maybe 15 years ago, or 10 years ago.
Yes.
They had to give them permission, and that was big news here. You know, this is a funky little town.
All right, well, let's funky talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. All right,
Philadelphia
Gary?
Eagles. Oh, yes. My God, I'm so psyched.
Yes.
You
like the way the offseason's gone, Gary, is what you're telling me.
I do like it. I do like it. You know, I like the change of theories. You know, I don't know whether anything's a trick to being successful, you know, whether it's, you know, choose the guy that's the best guy on the, supposedly the best guy on the board. I think did you work out those numbers? I mean, does that work out for more all pros than it does to take the guys that are just for your special needs?
You know, I think Howie's done a lot of these research projects, and through the years, coaches have done these research projects. Teams that go and draft for need, and I'll give you the one that always sticks in my mind, there's actually a couple of them.
Washington.
Jerome McDougal, when the Eagles took Jerome McDougal in the first round of 2003, I believe it was.
Okay.
And back in 1997, was that John Harris? Ray Rhodes picking John Harris, maybe 96, maybe 97. I remember walking down the hallway with Ray Rhodes at Veterans Stadium, and I said, Ray, just explain to me the thinking that went into this. You know, I got to write a story about it. What was your... And he said, look, I saw another Ed Too Tall Jones there, and we need a defensive end. And I thought, oh, boy. And couldn't find a nicer kid in the world than John Harris, but just not a good fit for that team. 1997.
What pick was that, first?
That was a 25th pick overall, I believe.
And first round.
First round, yeah.
Oh, man. No, you have to have more behind that pick.
Look, I'm looking for impact in the first round. I don't care what position.
Yeah, I don't care what position, as long as it's on the front line,
exactly.
Offensively.
Well, again, if you get yourself a great defensive player, don't you think this defense can use it?
I'm going to tell you something. If I don't get either one of those two right or tackles, because they're going to play right tackle, if I don't get one of those tackles, I take the guard.
Warmack from Alabama.
And we have to protect the quarterback this year. It was just the most frustrating in all of my years of being a fan. Nothing was more frustrating than watching that line last year.
You can't lose three starting players and expect to be competent up front. And the Eagles lost three to injury and a fourth, Danny Watkins, who fell in the doghouse of Howard Mudd. Now, can Danny,
I hope he comes back. I'm just hoping for him. But it'd be nice to just get a stud over there.
Yeah, I agree.
Even if he's a guard, why move, Harriman's?
I agree.
So that's what I think is going to happen in the first round. Of course, no, I like the kid a little bit from Oregon, but he's hurt.
Deion Jordan you're talking about?
Yeah.
I think he's been cleared. Oh, and he's got the shoulder, right? He's got the...
Yeah, he's got the shoulder. You know, he's not going to make any of the... of the things before the, you know, training camp, and he might not be ready for training camp.
Right.
You know, so you're so far behind in this league. No way.
Gary, it's one of the many questions we all have about the draft. Your vote is for an offensive or defensive lineman, particularly an offensive tackle.
But a defensive lineman would have to be if the two tackles and then the best guard came off 1, 2, 3. Well, I'd take the best defensive guy on the board for sure.
Okay. Hey, Gary, thanks for the phone call. Again, I'm not a draft expert, people. I'm really not. But Greg Cosell and Adam Kaplan, they are. And they take us inside the linebackers in this edition
of our scouting report.
They can use an interception. They can use a fumble, something. They need a game-changing play. The rush is coming. He's being chased. He's being sacked.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Film Room. I'm Adam Kaplan. He's NFL Film Senior Producer Greg Cosell. In this segment, we're going to look at the linebackers. This is a fun group because you got guys real tall, got guys who are a little bit smaller, but we start with Deion Jordan out of Oregon. I love watching this kid. He's a great story. These guys played some other positions other than outside linebacker. Greg, how's he look to you on tape?
Well, he went to Oregon as a tight end. This kid, I was fortunate enough at the combine, Adam, to be on the field. This kid looked like a wide receiver when you watched him move. He was about 6'6", I believe 248 pounds.
Over 6'6", right.
I know a
right.
lot of people say right. he needs to put on weight, and he probably does need to put on a little weight. He's another guy who you look at and you say, there's not a lot of people that size who move like that. Now, I wouldn't call him a pure pass rusher at this point in his career, but I think he has the ability to be very flexible and explosive as a pass rusher. We'll see if he develops into that. Oregon used him quite a bit, dropping into coverage from an outside linebacker position, and he did it very well. He's a very smooth athlete. He's not the best player in this draft, but to me he's the most intriguing player in this draft for what he possibly could become.
Now, as we transition to the smaller players, we have Arthur Brown out of Kansas State, and when you look at this kid, you see the speed.
Yeah, he's a good player.
You see the build, but he's not a real big guy, Greg. What have you seen from him?
No, but I think he's got very good sideline-to-sideline movement. Again, you wouldn't necessarily say he's got great speed, but he has play speed. And that's why the 40 times to me mean absolutely nothing. On film, this guy has very good play speed. He presses to the play. He's a sideline-to-sideline range player. I liked Arthur Brown on film.
Now, when we look at Jarvis Jones, a lot of controversy, you know, whether he could pass medically. He didn't have the greatest pro day, but here's a guy, you talk to executives, Greg, tape is pretty good. What have you seen?
The tape is good. When you see him on film, you say to yourself, this guy could be a 3-4 outside linebacker pass rusher. Mm-hmm. He's got the ability to bend the edge. He's a flexible athlete. He has what you look for in a 3-4 outside linebacker. Because if you're going to play a 3-4, a true 3-4, mm-hmm. the first prerequisite for an outside linebacker is to rush the quarterback. That's what a 3-4...
So Bill Cowher said, rush the quarterback.
There
right?
you go.
From NFL Films.
Yeah, he said that to Greg Lloyd, who was a 3-4 outside
there
linebacker,
go. Very good.
In fact.
I like it.
So the first prerequisite is you must be able to rush the quarterback. And he's a kid I think you can line up on the open side and get him matched on an offensive tackle. That's the whole point of lining up an outside linebacker in a 3-4 on the open side is you get him matched on the offensive tackle and you hope with the quickness he can win. I think this kid, again, he has to check out medically. I don't know all those details, but I think that this kid can do that.
Now, when you ask executives where you line up Alex Ogletree from Georgia,
right.
That's the issue because this guy's a talented player. What have you seen?
He's a great athlete because he started out as a safety and they moved him to linebacker. And this kid is a really good athlete. He's the best pure athlete of all the linebackers that are coming out. Now, the question is, does he play inside in a stack position? Does he play outside? I think theoretically he could play anywhere. My sense is I'd like him better on the outside. But that's, again, I could see others liking him on the inside. I think that this kid is a really good athlete who you could line up anywhere, but I see him best as an outside linebacker.
Now we'll go out west. We'll transfer out there to the Pac-12 and we'll see Chase Thomas out of Stanford. Greg, what have you seen from him?
Yeah, Chase Thomas, I struggled a little bit on film, and the main reason I did, and we're going to take a look at him right here, actually, in the Senior Bowl. He's going to be right there, and he's going to drop into coverage and make a tackle here. The one thing that really stood out to me, and it's the reason I struggled with him, he's a productive player for a very good program, is I didn't see a lot of snap to his movement, Adam. I didn't feel like he was a quick athlete. I felt like he was a slower player. And when I see that, I always, the first thing I think of is how does that transition to the NFL? So again, he's a smart kid. He was used in a variety of ways at Stanford. He was used as a pass rusher, had some success. Mm-hmm. But again, rushing the quarterback, you didn't see the fluidity and explosiveness of movement that I immediately looked at and said, wow, that clearly translates to the NFL.
No, I agree with you, because I think when you look at tape, it's all about attributes, as we've said,
right.
And how those attributes measure and how you project. It's all about projecting. If you can't project a guy from his tape to be an outside linebacker rusher, then he could be a strong side linebacker in a fourth rate.
And maybe that's what he is in the NFL,
right?
Assuming he's even a starter, because I think there's a question as to where he gets drafted and what teams see him as. There was a question for me, I can tell you that.
Now, we're going to go back now to the South and go to University of Florida. Jelani Jenkins, out of University of Florida. Greg, what have you seen
from
him?
He's an athletic kid.
Okay.
I think ultimately he's a run, you know, the phrase we like to use, he's a run and chase linebacker. He's an athletic kid. He can move. He's more of a mover than a physical guy, but the league is moving in that direction. I'm not necessarily going to compare him to Lavonte David from a year ago, but David was, 230 pounds?
Smart guy,
but
right.
He could run, he could chase, he could hit. You know, Jenkins is going to have to be that kind of player in the National Football
League. And when you talk about run and chase guys, those guys usually line up on a 4-3 on the weak side, I would think.
Well, that traditionally, yes.
Right,
traditionally, everybody talks about run and chase linebackers as playing in 4-3 weak side linebackers. You know, it's like Derek Brooks when he played in Tampa. He's the perfect 4-3 weak side linebacker.
Now, we're going to stay in the SEC here. Kevin Minter out of LSU.
I like Kevin Minter. Kevin Minter is not a great athlete. You wouldn't say he's a top, top athlete for the position. He's an inside stacked linebacker who is, I think he's very good with play recognition. You know what I liked about him? And this is really important when you play inside. I think he was very good at digesting what is in front of him and working his way through the bodies. Because when you play a stacked linebacker position inside, you're going to get blocked. There's bodies there. You know, no one's going to let you just run free to the ball. So you've got to work your way through a lot of traffic, through a lot of bodies, and you've got to make plays. And if I'm not mistaken, it was against Florida, very good opponent. He had one of the best games I saw by a linebacker. I think he might have had 20-plus tackles, but that's irrelevant. It was the way he was making plays. He was making plays sideline to sideline. He was making plays in the box, fighting through bodies. I think that's what he is. He's not a guy you look at and go, wow. He's not the athlete Ogletree is, but I think he's a better, believe it or not, I think he's a better football player than Ogletree.
Interesting. Okay. As we transition now to another linebacker, it's C.O. Moore out of UConn who, here's an issue, and I think this guy's a good football player. Are you lining him up inside or outside?
Well, I would personally line him up outside. UConn lined him up over the slot a lot of times against multiple receiver packages.
Which means he can move for a linebacker,
which
is good. Yeah.
And again, you're going to see him here in a senior bowl practice. Here he's lined up at Mike in the middle. Okay, I personally don't think, as we watch him make this play here, I personally don't think in the NFL he's a true Mike linebacker in a 4-3. Now, the question is, can he be the athletic linebacker in a 3-4, meaning the Lawrence Timmons position? Lawrence Timmons with the Pittsburgh Steelers, great, great athlete when he came out of Florida State, has become a very good 3-4 inside linebacker. That's the athletic inside linebacker position in a 3-4. I think C.O. Moore could do that.
All right, last but not least, we have, you could call him controversial, Mante Teo from Notre Dame. And Greg, let's stick to the film study here. What have you seen from him?
Oh, I want to talk about his 40 time because he ran a 4.71 at his pro day instead of a 4.8. Now, what that means about what kind of player he is, you tell me. Here's what I'm going to say about Manti Te'o. I think he's a stacked inside linebacker in your base defense. I don't think in the NFL he'll play in your sub packages. I know he had seven interceptions.
First and second down guy, which I think takes away value, by the way.
Oh, I agree 100%. Yeah. And this is not a knock on Te'o per se. Obviously, the publicity was such for other reasons. We don't care about that.
Right.
I think there's a lot of guys like Manti Te'o, quite frankly. I don't think he's a special inside linebacker. Now, again, I think he's a good football player who'll play in the NFL. He could play for 10 years, but I don't think he'll ever be what you'd call an impact inside linebacker.
Well, we'll see, because this guy, it's going to be fascinating to see where he goes. Is it going to be late first, early second, mid first? Nobody has an answer as we get closer
maybe
to the draft.
Maybe late second.
You know what? That would be interesting to see if that happens. I doubt it, but you know, you never know.
You never know.
We never have the answers. All right, great stuff out of you, Greg. He's Greg Cosell. I'm Adam Kaplan. Stay tuned for more Inside the Film Room.
They can use an interception. They can use a fumble.
Lawrence is coming. He's being chased. He's being sacked. D'Amico Ryans has him.
We welcome you into the studio. I'm good. What's the offseason been like for you?
Well, I've just been boxing, you know, lifting weights, and I went back to school.
Did you actually hit another person?
No, I just was hitting backs.
Do you have any aspiration at all to hit another person in a ring?
No, just on the field.
Do you think you have the courage to do it?
I think I do.
Do you think boxers are the best athletes of all?
Yeah, I think they are the best athletes.
I mean, now that you've gone through it, you have a working knowledge of how hard it is.
Yeah, and I was going probably 25% of what, like, you know, a regular boxer go.
I know you did as well last year, I think, right?
And mm-hmm.
What's improved from the boxing ring helped you on the football field? Has it been the use of your hands, the quickness of your hands, your reaction? What's helped you?
Reaction and quickness of my hands. You know, just getting them on top of the lineman and, you know, moving them as soon as they come. That's where the reaction comes in. And, you know, they throw hands at me, you know, a couple times to get out the way. And I think that helps a lot, you know, when you see them coming at you.
Brandon, last year it seemed like you were really coming into your own. I guess I'd call it a crazy year for you. I mean, you as much as anyone caught in the middle of everything that was going on with defensive line coach Jim Washburn, the defensive scheme. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about, as you reflected back on last year, what it was like.
I mean, it was a depressing season because, you know, I wanted to be out there even while we was losing, just be out there a little more than I was. And when I got my chance, you know, I made sure I was always ready. And, you know, it just opened up for me, and I was happy towards the end of the year, you know, on how I finished, because it's all about how you finish. And this year, I'm trying to start fast and finish fast so we can make this run towards the championship.
How's the transition just kind of in this first day been? I mean, you got a new coaching staff. Do they express to you already what they want from you?
Nothing yet. You know, just everything still quiet right now. You know, we couldn't talk football before April anyway, so now that we're back into everything, they don't want to put too much of a load on us. So yeah, but today was a pretty intense day. You know, it was cool because it was a good workout, but, you know, everything's more up tempo than it was previous.
You like
previous
that years.
Oh yeah, I like it a lot. It reminds me of college days under Coach Rodriguez.
Yeah, so you get in, so you knew coming in you had to be in great shape, or quite frankly you're gonna get your butt kicked today.
Yeah, you know, and you know, you can't rest that long, you know, and that's what I'm used to anyway.
Brandon, what's it like when you walk in and see so many new faces, a new coaching staff? You have to get to know everybody all over again, don't you?
Yeah, you know, it's some people that's been here that looks new to me because it's so many new faces, but, you know, obviously.
Yeah, I know. I'm here.
Obviously, I know.
That's right. Thank you, my man. We're still here. Hey, that's a victory, right?
Yeah, we're still here. We're still here.
There is a matter of survival in the NFL. What do you expect, Brandon? How's this team turning around? Huh? I'm sure you spent many days and weeks here thinking about that you never want to go through that kind of season again.
No, especially not nowhere, you know, and not here because, you know, how the fans are, you know. I mean, I'm trying to get everybody, you know, happy again, and, you know, only thing that can make them happy is a championship.
That's exactly right.
And that's all we're striving for. And this year, I mean, I know people don't want to, you know, start putting predictions or nothing, and we're not going to do that. We're just going to take it one game at a time, one day at a time, and, you know, we're just going to make it happen.
Coach Davis, defensive coordinator here, Bill Davis, has not talked about a 3-4 versus a 4-3. I don't know if – has he talked much to you about that?
No, not at all. You know, I just met him yesterday, and, I mean, we talked before, but, you know, just seeing him in person was different. And, you know, he didn't really go into details about nothing, just said make sure, you know, you stay strong and, you know, get faster, and we'll worry about the rest.
So if you play defensive end, you can – if they ask you to do that, no problem? If you play linebacker, no problem?
No problem. You know, I'm a ball player at the end of the day, and yeah. We always got to make adjustments because, you know, you never get the same coach for too many years, you know, before you have to make another jump.
I will say from a purely, you know, manly standpoint, you do look quite ripped. Your body looks good.
Thank you.
You know, you look like you've been working really hard.
Yeah, I mean, I started end of January. You know, I gave myself a couple weeks and then got back into it. You know, I think I'm going to do it like this every year because, you know, I like the way my body felt towards, you know, the end of the year. And even though I didn't play that much, but I practice every day, you know, and that wears you down just as much as playing in the game. So, Yeah.
Brandon, you mentioned that you have been going to class, back to class at University of Michigan. Congratulations to your Wolverines on the Final Four run. Let's see what happens this weekend. Good luck to you.
Go Blue.
Yeah, so tell me about class. What kind of class you've been taking and why?
Right now I'm taking physics because I have to finish with one math requirement, you know, and that's a 4-credit physics class. And I just took that because I didn't want to overwhelm myself, even though I got 13 left. This is a 4-credit, so I have 9 left after finish.
It's important you to get your degree?
Yeah, it's very important, you know, because, you know, I want to preach that to my kids, and I at least want to have, you know, my diplomas up, you know, and, you know, I can't talk about it if I ain't been about it.
Right. And so you are have you literally gone back to campus, walked the campus, gone back into the classroom and sat there and heard the lectures?
Yeah, you know, this is the only class that I have to do that for, but it was fun, man. I mean, it brought back a whole bunch of memories, and, you know, it's just fun to see a lot of, you know, people walking around that I knew, because this is the last year of the people that I do know, you know, before, like, you know, I won't know nobody else.
Don't call them kids now. Don't be an old man on me.
No, they're not
kids. Don't say you're sitting around a bunch of kids.
Well, you know, students.
Okay,
you know,
good.
And, you know, man, it just felt good because everybody, you know, welcomed me back, and, you know, I seen all the coaches, and it was just fun to be around that atmosphere.
Excellent. How's the atmosphere here?
It's real upbeat right now. You know, everybody's like buying in, you know, and we got a lot of new faces, and, you know, I had to learn pretty much everybody's name. I mean, even though I knew, I kept up with, you know, the picks and stuff like that, but just to see them in person finally. You know, it felt good.
Chip Kelly has everybody's attention, doesn't he?
Oh, he has everybody's attention. Shoot, when he first started talking in the meeting yesterday, everybody, it was so quiet in there.
Yeah, there's our new head coach. We better pay attention here.
Yeah.
He's our present. He's our future. Well, Brandon Graham, have a great offseason.
Thank you.
We'll see you around, man. Thanks for coming by.
All right.
Brandon Graham in the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
With the 12th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select
Mississippi State defensive tackle Fletcher Cox.
What a
is a Philadelphia Eagle. They traded up, but they didn't have to go all the way to 6 to get Fletcher Cox. They got him at 12. They give up a 4th-round pick, a 6th-round pick.
This is the guy everyone in the media knew about. The Eagles interviewed him at the Combine. This guy gets upfield. I'm stunned. I didn't think they'd be able to get him. The fact of the matter is that he's going to be an Eagle. This is the guy that they came into draft wanting.
A lot of people like the speed around the edge that Vinnie Curry has.
They'll be able to get some depth at receiver if they really want some.
I think their aggressive style really fits well with Michael's play.
There's a player I really, really like. I would be surprised if he went in the 2nd round.
Boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
There's a sight, a sound, a taste to this town.
Hot Italian bread ready for dinner.
Over 500 varieties of produce, fresh every day.
Custom cut, just for you.
Acme, everything from local produce to Lancaster beef from family-owned farms to breads baked all day.
Salty or sweet?
My neighborhood, my Acme.
So, man, how's that Bud Light Port Paradise cruise?
Oh, man. First day. So later on, it's all... Swing, baby, swing. Then we hit the ship's deck. Next day, there's this private island concert. So what'd you guys do?
4 days, 3 nights, a 2-day music festival, and one legendary party, Bud Light Port Paradise. Here we go.
I'm Bob Bicknell, wide receivers coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
All right, check that out, guys. That is the Eagles' official draft hat. It's the 59-50 draft hat. Available now. Get it now. Wear it to the draft party. Right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, the draft party tickets available. FOC, free of charge, on Thursday, 10 o'clock, PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Dave Spitter with you. It's Eagles Live here. We take a phone call from Delaware. Tyrell, you back with us here, my friend?
Yeah, man, I'm back. I'm back. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to call in and talk about a couple of these moves that was made that I'm really ecstatic about.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, the one that just slid in the door there was Fletcher. I believe him as a cornerback. He's going to bring a real just aggressive style. And I had a chance to look at a couple of his games. And he got kind of pushed to the back burner when they drafted the cornerback last year.
Yeah, Janoris Jenkins.
He
tackles, said to tackle very well. The numbers that we've seen from, Pro Football Focus, I think it was, the quarterback passer rating throwing his way were outstanding. Why he didn't play last year, a mystery to me. But he'll get a chance to earn playing time here. I think it's very interesting, the cornerback position. I guess I would say the Eagles will still challenge that position if there's an opportunity to do so. But right now you've got Fletcher, you've got Williams, you've got Boykin, Brandon Hughes, Marsh, Trevard Lindley is here, a couple of other players who are younger veterans. I still think there's room to challenge that position.
Right. And a couple other things that I wanted to talk about. I wanted to give you my diamond in the rough pick for the draft, and I also wanted to just talk about, what Sopoago brings to the actual. If we go to 3-4, I think that'll be a good anchor for us. And as a stopgap, if we wanted to, then go next year and get a big guy to put in the middle there. But my sleeper here is because I see Chip Kelly. I'm loving the fact that he's bringing in bigger, stronger, tougher guys. And, that can not only hold the point of attack, but, be a disruptive force in the run game. And on the other side of the ball, I see him bringing in big, strong, physical guys. And to me, the best wide receiver in the draft is one that had a couple issues. Derek Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, to me, he's going to be amazing. And I believe you can get him in the third or fourth round because he has some off-the-field issues. But
I agree with you. Listen, I agree with you that – thanks for the call, by the way. Isaac Sopoaga, terrific pickup. But there is some age. There is some mileage. Antonio Dixon, the backup, certainly there is room to challenge. I think if the Eagles do play some 3-4, who is that other starting defensive end? Fletcher Cox would be one of them. Is it, Cedric Thornton, or do you bring somebody in to do that? I think you still challenge the defense. I still, you just bring in good football players. This is a 4-12 football team, guys. I think the roster is better, certainly, than a 4-12 record. I think the Eagles underperformed last year, but you still have an opportunity to challenge every position on this roster. Now, that includes running back, too, which I wouldn't have said that a little while ago. All right, we will finish today's show with our off-the-field look, Philadelphia Eagles cheerleader, the lovely Jamie Lee, who is preparing for a very, very special day.
I'm here today at Bijou Bridal to look at wedding dresses. I'm getting married in April of 2014. I'm really excited. It's almost a year away. And I brought three of my close friends to help me pick out dresses. One has been my best friend since kindergarten. So she's actually one of my bridesmaids, and she's with me. And I brought two girls from the Eagles cheerleading team, which is with me today. They're really close with me on the team also, so I'm excited to have them with me. Off the field, I am currently a preschool teacher, which is my career, what I wanted to do in college. I went to school for elementary education. I work 7 to 4 every day, work with kids. We do simple stuff like ABCs, colors, counting. They're two-year-olds, so they're really young. I think that time management is a great asset to have to being on the Eagles cheerleading squad, because a lot of us girls, we have full-time jobs. So to be a preschool teacher and then right away to leave from work to go to practice, that's your whole day, and then I'll come home late at night. So to have other things like wedding planning is just another thing to add to my list. So I think time management is something that you need to have a great goal of. I've been a dancer all my life. I started taking dance when I was 5. I took tap, jazz, and ballet. And then throughout high school, I was on the high school dance team. And then after high school, I was on the Reading Phillies dance team. And then after I was on that, I tried out for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I made it my first try, which was amazing. Some advice that I would give the women trying out for the team this year would just to be yourself. The Philadelphia Eagles cheerleaders were very personable, were such great women, and I would just tell them just to be themselves and then show their personality.
What a way to end the show, the beautiful Jamie Lee. Well, obviously, I think they're all beautiful and talented and wonderful, and we've got our semifinals coming up for the Eagles cheerleaders for 2013 and 14 tomorrow night, and then we will broadcast live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com the finals of the cheerleaders. I believe the date is August 22nd, is that correct? But you can tune in and watch the gorgeous ladies, April 22nd, I'm sorry, the gorgeous ladies trying out for the 38 coveted spots to represent the Philadelphia Eagles in 2013. 2014. We're back with Eagles Live next Monday. We've got continued coverage here as this offseason program continues. Jason Peters, you heard from him. All good, ready to go. Can't wait to get back on the football field. More to come the rest of the week, including tomorrow, a visit by the quarterback. So make sure you're with us every step of the way. I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
Keep pushing, hey, keep fighting. You're gonna step it up. I'll fight for you.